I'm just gonna stand here and I'm gonna plant my flag, and I will not buy an Xbox Series X, but I will most likely buy a PlayStation 5.
Hello and welcome to the WCCF Tech Podcast. My name is Dave, and we are doing the game and talk stuff. It's gonna be excellent. I'm here with Keith.
Hi guys.
I'm here with Chris.
Hello.
And I'm here with Alessio.
Yo.
And today we're going to be talking all about Gamescom Opening Night Live, or what little happened there, Sony on PC, and whatever else like gets us frustrated today. Alessio, take it away.
Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, there weren't that many big announcements, to be honest, probably because, you know, basically every company did its own little show ahead of Gamescom this year, due to everything that happened with the trade being cancelled and everything else.
Coronavirus.
So, yeah, there wasn't that much left to announce, probably. We did get a new look, actually the first look at LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga gameplay. I think that looked quite good, right?
Yeah, the LEGO games are usually quite decent. These TT games, they're just fun, family-friendly games. I enjoy them. I still love
games.
LEGO. What?
Like a popcorn game. You know, like,
yeah,
like
essentially. Essentially, you just get to go around, smash LEGO bits up, and just, like, I don't know, imagine killing people.
I would totally hate on the Star Wars games. However, they have local co-op. So,
LEGO missing today.
Yeah. LEGO Marvel Super Heroes. Can't get that's perfect game. Well,
I like to play
them
with my
kid.
I've had a few LEGO games in the past, and like, I wouldn't play it by myself, but with someone who is less experienced with games, sure. You know,
I play them by myself.
Well,
I don't.
Anyway, beyond LEGO, we also got the first trailer to the new Medal of Honor game, the VR game, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That's being made by Respawn, so there's a lot of hype on it, and yeah, hopefully, I think it looks good. It could be one of the first AAA VR games after Alyx, you know?
Yeah.
The fact that it's Respawn, hopefully EA just realized that they don't need to prod and poke the developers, just telling them, you've got to make it this way. Like, no, EA, you've messed up everything else before. Let the developers do what they do best.
Hey, do we know what game engine this one's running on? Out of curiosity.
I don't.
Fair point. I'll have a quick look while people are talking.
Because I've always found Respawn interesting within EA, because they seem to be the only EA studio that can get away with not using the Frostbite engine.
They use Source. They've been using
Source.
Yeah,
they use Source. And the Star Wars previous game was Unreal Engine as well.
Which one was that? The
That was Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
That's Unreal Engine. And then like Apex and Fireball.
Were the Source. I remember that being weird.
They've never used Frostbite.
Yeah.
And guess what? It turned out pretty good for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
That's because Frostbite is so limited.
Frostbite worked great for Battlefield, but outside of that, it's like you could tell it was designed with a purpose in mind, and then they tried to repurpose it after.
Yeah, totally. I really like the only thing that kills me about Frostbite, and we're going off topic now, but the only thing that kills me about Frostbite is that, oh no, wait, I'm going to segue. BioWare. Because I think BioWare, like the studio that's had most of their potential utterly ruined by EA and being forced onto the Frostbite engine, it's been causing them issues since Dragon Age 3. Partially ruined Anthem. It partially ruined Andromeda. And now they're hyping up next Dragon Age, and I'm praying they aren't going to be forced into using Frostbite again, because I really do kind of feel
that as a
decider.
I wouldn't class it as hyping up the next Dragon Age. I would class it as... I'll rant about that shortly.
Basically, all we saw was we got concept art, and at one point it looked like someone was terraforming a mountain in engine.
There were a few seconds of gameplay, but
it wasn't really. It was just literally.
It's
praying.
Still maybe 2 to 3 years away.
So this is literally I'll get a teaser.
Into the Dragon Age rant right now.
Okay. Go for it. Let us know. What's Dragon Age?
Anybody who remembers when Anthem was first announced, was first revealed, it was the exact same situation. We've got this great new IP. Explore amazing worlds. Here's some pictures. Here's some concept art. This is what we're going to do. Yes, you can tell us what you're going to do all day long. It doesn't matter. If you can't actually do it, if you haven't got the capabilities, you haven't got the decent management, you've got to crunch every single day of your life and still fail so miserably that the game's an utter bag of crap, then there's no point. Actually announce a game when you've got some information for people, not some drawings on a piece of paper and not a bit of writing on a wall. That means absolutely nothing. People are yes, people are getting hyped up. People are going, oh, Dragon Age 3. Yes, but stop falling into this. Well, four, who gives a crap? It's going to be crap unless they actually make a good game. And I've just so, I don't believe in BioWare now. Not after the absolute shit show that was Anthem and Andromeda. They haven't made a good game in a decade.
But like I said, a lot of that is because of they were having engine problems and mismanagement.
And I understand that. Yeah, no, the management's atrocious.
I have to be the only person that enjoyed both of those games.
Anthem just bored me to tears.
No Andromeda. One enjoyed Anthem, don't lie.
Yeah. I just like flying.
See, Andromeda I can live with because it had some story there, it had the story aspects, but it was so shoddily developed. It wasn't a patch on the original Mass Effect trilogy.
I need to put a disclaimer in whenever I said that I actually enjoyed these games. I also enjoyed Aliens Colonial Marines. So this is why I don't do the game reviews. I patched the game, Chris. I fixed the AI bug.
Okay.
Other than Dragon Age, we also got a very brief but interesting new look at a game called Unknown 9. And
I read about that. Yes.
Chris also got like a media kit, right?
I did. We got a little media kit.
What is that game?
So Chris, what is it about?
So I actually don't know yet because there's not only so much information. They've sent me a book to read, which is all part of the same
Jesus.
Route.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, but you didn't like games where you had to get information from books and outside stories.
Yes, but,
didn't we?
But the game isn't out yet.
Out on screen.
The game isn't out yet. The game might. So the whole concept is all part of this interconnected universe, and the game will have a story that stands alone.
Is it going to have a TV show on Sci-Fi Channel too?
I don't think it's going to have a TV show on Sci-Fi. So it's got a comic book series.
Okay.
It's getting a comic book series. This is the first book of a planned trilogy. There's the game, which has just been announced. That's going to be coming probably next year. Maybe, I don't know exactly when. Next year, the year after.
Is anything they announced actually coming out anytime soon?
We'll get to that. But But anyway, part of this universe, in the game itself, this girl has an ability that essentially lets her see into a different dimension of the void or whatever they call it. I don't know the full
medium.
I don't think it's medium. I don't know. It might be sanctuary.
Just reading the description. World premiere action adventure game. It's a narrative-driven game that features a protagonist able to manipulate the world around her, seeing them as specters of sorts that cannot hurt her.
In the trailer, it showed some people, some kids chasing her. So this is a young girl from India. So that's an interesting setting in itself. And she's got this ability to like change the world around her. Essentially, she can stop time. Well, not so much stop time, but see what's happening to, which could kill her. So these kids are chasing her. One kid's about to whack her over the head with a big stick. And suddenly she stops, she sees the spectre of what's going to happen, the stick about to hit her, and then she just decides to just move out of the way. Well, everything's stopped, and she then appears stood up, and then she just gets out of the way and runs away from the evil kids.
You know, the fact that you were able to explain this without referencing another game gives me hope that it's at least something fresh.
Yeah, so that's why it interests me.
Or maybe it's only because you don't know anything about the gameplay and it's all just dodgy story concepts.
Yes. Well, at least they've got a trailer.
It didn't have any gameplay, Chris. You always say about how the trailers need gameplay.
Chris is
going back on himself because he got a media pack. This is corruption in games journalism. I ain't having it.
No.
Gets a media pack. He's like, no, this is going to be the best game of the year. I can't believe it. The game's not even going to be out this year. The game of the year. I got a book.
Sad we'll hear of this.
See, the difference is I actually was interested in this before I got the pack.
Okay. But you didn't even know of its existence.
All I know is it looked interesting, the setting's interesting, that's why I chose to write about it. It's the only thing from the opening night that looked compelling. Because it's just a different setting, it's a different... You're taking part of a young Indian girl.
It's fine.
It's okay. It does look interesting. I'm intrigued. Yes. I'd like to know more about it as time moves.
I want to know more about it. That's why I'm going to read the book. I was going to buy the book anyway.
Okay. Fun. And, you know, finally, actually, the opening night live was closed by an extended demo for Ratchet & Clank on PS5.
Yeah. I think
that looked really good, you know, both from a visual standpoint and also mechanics. You know, using the SSD so that players can jump through dimensions, you know, through the rifts. And it was also announced that the game is coming actually pretty soon. They said in the launch window, so it should be just a few months after launch,
probably.
Yeah, I think early next year, possibly. And also, they announced that they'll have a 60 frames per second mode as well, and that's an interesting tidbit, I think, because the same was confirmed about Miles Morales, the Spider-Man game, and also Demon's Souls. So it looks like PlayStation 5 exclusives, going forward, will have a 60 frame per second mode. It's definitely good news.
I'm probably the weird one here. I don't care if a game can run at 60 frames per second as long as it looks smooth. Run at a smooth 30, I've always been happy. I've never cared.
Disagrees.
I think
yes, 60 but Keith FPS. Likes Alien Colonial Marines.
Look, the quality of the game has nothing to do with how smooth a game is once you hit 60 FPS. You can dodge things better. Imagine Dark Souls 3 if it was running at 60 FPS on a console versus the 30. You literally have half the frames to dodge within.
Yeah, I do understand.
No, before we move on, my friend does a competitive PvP in Dark Souls 3, and he's outraged because he plays on base PS4, and there's certain cancels and glitches you can do with higher frame rates. So, like, unlocked mode on PS4 Pro, you can do, like, an extra bow cancel and really...
Oh.
I was going to swear. You can destroy some people.
I can imagine.
So that's the glory of 60. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, also, input lag is lower.
That's the biggest ones. No. I'm actually playing through a game on my my PlayStation 3 right now. Since I've fixed this TV that's in my office, I've been catching up on some old games I haven't finished. Played through the old God of War, the ones that came out for the PSP, so Chains of Olympus and Ghost of Sparta. Finished those run at 60 FPS, butter. Switched over and actually have been playing The Last of Us. The difference between the PlayStation 4 version and that one, the biggest one other than the visual improvement, is the frame rate. There is a noticeable lag at 30 FPS. There is input lag at 30 FPS. The input response is not as good. That, to me, is more a bigger deal breaker than the actual frames.
I'm still wrong.
I'm going to be devil's advocate for a minute. I'm going to jump on Chris's side. To be fair, I think 30 FPS can work very well for many games, and I say this because I'm the Switch guy. I'm the Switch guy, on the game. And I've played like more than 30 hours of The Witcher 3 on Switch, you know, so frame rates be damned. Frame rates be damned. But also...
It really does depend on
the
game.
But also, because I'm a Switch fan, I have to say I'm playing games like Super Smash Bros. And I'm playing games like Mario Odyssey, and when those weren't humming along at 60 FPS, it's like...
Well, and you're giving concessions to be able to be mobile. These are consoles. These are huge consoles, especially the new ones. They're like the size of my leg sitting next to your TV. And if they're not pulling... Look, as time moves on, the PlayStation 2 was running 60 FPS games.
He's getting mad. He's getting mad.
No! Do something with the power.
This is the most vexed we've ever seen Keith.
Do something with the power. You know what? Here, I'll give you a hot take. I'll give you a hot take. To hell with 4K. 4K is a waste of resources in most instances.
He can't say that.
Give me 1080p. Give me some good multi-sampling anti-aliasing on it, and give me 60 FPS floor. Make that the base. Increase the visual fidelity in effects, particle effects, smoke effects, translucence. Give me the ray tracing. Give me everything at 1080p that you can give me, because
DLSS.
You spend. Well, neither one of these consoles can do that. They have DirectML maybe on the Xbox, but not the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Frame rate and image quality over resolution. There was a time where I would have told you that I would rather have a higher resolution and lower settings, but after having access to all of them and playing in various ways, my gaming system over here runs 1080p. It's a 240Hz panel with a 2080 and a 9900K, but I'd rather have frame rate all day.
So, as I said, I think it depends on the game for me. Same as that.
It does depend.
For example, Microsoft Flight Simulator, I'll run that at ultra and get an average of 45 frames FPS.
You ain't gonna get 60 on it anyway, don't matter.
If I drop down the visual quality, I do get 60 quite easy, but if I run it on ultra, it looks so good, and I'd
rather something that I haven't quite figured out yet about the PS5 is that is it going to support FreeSync, or rather, HDMI VRR, variable refresh rate? Because
it's a good question. I'm going to assume yes, because otherwise they are going to drop the ball compared to Microsoft, aren't they?
That's a hardware thing. Like the GPU in it supports it. Yeah. So the display out supports it. So it's going to be up to whether Sony turns it on or not. Because it was in the 1S and the 1X. They have it. So,
I think if it's going to go to 120 FPS, as they say, then I think that's got to be a given, you know?
Yeah, but, the thing is, if that's the case, they should advertise it more, because then even if they can't make a game 60 frames per second, but you can enable VRR, that means that you can run the game at 40, 45, It's still more...
I'm good with that.
Older. Yeah, on that note, the one thing that does get me hype about the new generation is the fact that the 120 FPS boasting, while many games are probably not going to hit that target, I feel like it is going to make 60 FPS games far more likely, which I am far more happy about. I mean, as Keith said, when I run games on my PC, and I've only got a 980 Ti, I'll be running at 1080p. I'll be trying to max out the settings and try and go at 60 FPS. There's a few magic games like a Halo Master Chief Collection where it's 4K 60, but not all the time.
It's just due to the
old. With the new GeForce RTX 3000, we'll have 4K and over 60, right, Kate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's gonna happen. I mean, you can really realistically get right there with the current ones. You just might want to set an extra generator near you. It takes so much to run that.
You need ultra wide, just all ultra wide.
Boys, when you guys upgrade your GPU, could you send me your old one, please? I need a good one.
I got this one sitting here. This is you need one of those.
Yeah, I'll take it. Thanks. I'll send you my address.
It's a 980 Ti. It should do you good.
Can I SLI those?
Probably. Jeez, what? When are we going to get a price? Gamescom's come and gone, yeah. And nobody knows what these things are going to cost. We don't, is this yeah. literally a standoff?
I think yeah. so.
I honestly said it, if not the last podcast, one before, I believe. I honestly think Sony are just waiting for Microsoft to reveal information before they reveal it.
Yeah.
They're doing the last generation where Microsoft fucked up, so Sony could just go, we're not going to fuck up.
And now Microsoft's waiting for Sony.
Yeah. It is the worst standoff in the world. It's like they're neither is willing to. It's the worst game of poker in the world.
It's getting boring. It's getting boring.
I think Microsoft are thinking a step ahead, though, because I think what's going to happen is that eventually both are going to have to announce the prices of their major consoles. Yeah. Microsoft's going to have to say Series X price, and Sony's going to say PS5 price for digital and standard, you know? Yeah. And then, as soon as Microsoft learn what their lowest price is for like the all-digital version, they're like, here's the Series S, slightly lower price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to go ahead. With that route.
I think Microsoft have took that one step ahead by essentially, well, removing the need to pay for a subscription to play online as well. So that's one good move they've done. Though they're going to link it all into the Game Pass somehow.
I just... How do you... You're end of August... September's coming, October, November. Really, realistically,
September ends.
Right? No joke. Like, unless
they're probably
like,
two and a quarter months away from the consoles.
It's crazy.
Holiday is coming. Holiday. Everybody's saving for it. What happens when they come out and nobody's? You know, I don't know. I'm just frustrated, guys. We don't know a price. No, they're gonna buy them. They're gonna buy them. They're not gonna not sell, but.
You just want to know how much to save.
I mean, I may have a counter. I mean that, you know, whenever there is an iPhone announcement or even a Samsung Galaxy announcement, I mean, these days, these official announcements don't come a lot longer than, a lot farther away than the release date, right? I mean, usually people are, the ones that are going to buy them right away, they already know they're coming, and then they're announced that a few weeks later they're going to purchase them.
Oh yeah,
and I think it may be the same for console because early adopters already know they're coming.
Well,
and I don't think
we all know they're coming. I think the problem is it's getting the time to arrange your finances. It's getting the time to essentially for the retail stores to start sorting out their deals as well.
I think you're going to get sticker shock on these. Big time.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if you're spending quite a bit of money as well as trading in your PS4.
I think it'll be $499, probably.
That's very optimistic from my past. I'm pushing six.
Yeah, I'm thinking because of how long they're holding off. No generation has held off on prices this long before.
You know what I'm going to buy? Nothing. I'm going to keep playing on PC. Because all the games on the Xbox One S are already here. They're coming here.
Didn't you just say you were going to buy the PS5?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'm going to buy one of them, it's going to be the PS5. Because the Xbox games are already here. And the PlayStation games are making their way over to PC. And isn't that one of the things they talked about recently? Was that they're going to push even more games? I mean... I'm down for that. I might even buy me a PlayStation controller to use on my PC.
I think that's the thing. Sony have realized after the success of Horizon and Death Stranding Walking Simulator that
it's a wonderful game.
I'm not denying that. But Sony are realizing that what you release a game for the PC 2 years after you've released it on the PlayStation, for example.
Actually, three.
Even a year.
Yeah.
But I mean, a year, 2 years, 3 years, however long, people who haven't got the console are still going to think, oh, I can finally buy this game that everybody loved.
Yeah.
It's a win.
I mean, I think Sony's like a first-party software strategy long-term is actually really smart because, one, they get a whole load of decent first-party exclusive titles out on the PS4, and then over time, they discount those much more heavily than your average AAA game. Like, if you want to go on the PS4 digital store right now and look at the big Uncharted games, Bloodborne, Horizon, God of War,
they're cheap.
Even outside of a sale, they're like £15. I'm not sure what we're looking at in dollars. Inside of a sale, it's probably under 10, you know? Yeah. But yeah, then, when it hits that kind of price, and if people still aren't biting on the console and the game at that point, stick them on PC at full price.
Right? Well, when Horizon launched... Profit. Well, when they launched Horizon, I looked for... I actually was shopping around because I didn't know if we were going to get an extra key for the PC or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm going to buy it anyway. Sure. And I went on some of the key sites, and you could buy Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition for the PS4 for $5.
Yep.
You know, and all these other games. And I sat there for probably about an hour one day just kind of toying around with maybe I should order a PS4.
Yeah.
They're still a little pricey, though. I thought they were cheaper than they are right now. I saw the prices and was like, maybe I'll just not.
I think if you're just going to find someone that's had one for a couple of years and he's looking to shift it and then just play the exclusives and, you know.
I tried to trade my Xbox plus some extra controllers to somebody with one. I'm like, do you want this Blu-ray player? It's really nice. But if I have to pick one of the two, as my experience with, I mean, I've been gaming as long as I've been walking, and my experience with all of them and the way I'm seeing them go, I don't really care about the superior hardware that the Series S has.
I've already got superior hardware called the
PlayStation. Well, I'm just more interested in the games that I'm seeing come for the PlayStation. And a lot of that is historical. It's based off the games that I've seen come out. I still go back and play PlayStation 3 games.
Yeah,
sure.
PlayStation 2 games. I still have my PS2.
Yep, same.
And my
on PlayStation 3, you got to deal with less than 60 FPS, my boy.
I know, right?
I can
depends
go
on the game.
Play old PlayStation 1 games.
You can actually play most of those games on RPCS 3.
I knew that was going to come. I knew Alessio was going to be in here.
The emulator.
With emulator sacrilege.
My emulator does legal. Dreamcast.
Okay.
My emulator plays my Dreamcast games, since I couldn't get a hold of one.
Anyway, actually, to your point, Kit, I really hope that Sony does the smart thing and they make the new DualSense controller compatible with PC, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I wrote in an article recently, there's been so many developers. You know, not just first-party developers, but also third-party developers praising the new controller because between the adaptive triggers and the haptics feedback, it just enables better immersion in their games in a number of ways. And to get that on PC, I mean, I think Sony could make a lot of money just from selling DualSense controllers to PC gamers as well. So yes, hopefully it will be supported.
Yeah, hopefully so. Well, we've got 3 minutes left, but I want to just quickly add in something we were talking about earlier, Medal of Honor. Apparently he's using the Frostbite engine, Frostbite 2.
Here we go.
And it's going to be exclusive for the Oculus Rift.
Interesting. Or the Facebook Rift, shall we say.
Yes.
Yeah,
I love my Rift S, but I am very unhappy with that move.
Yeah,
I think
we've only got 2.5 minutes left. So
I think just real quick, I think that the platform is great. I think it's very seamless. It's wonderful. I have less issues with it than I do with Steam VR. I would much rather utilize their system, but I am not happy with Facebook integration. That's all I have to say for today.
And I'll just say, since we know it's Frostbite now, it makes sense in Medal of Honor because the engine is built for shooters.
Yeah, very true. It's be interesting to see how it turns out, but I'll not know because I've only got a Vive, not an Oculus.
I don't even have a VR headset.
It's unfortunate. Chris, hook this man up.
I honestly, at this point, I don't want one.
I can understand that.
I
stand by it. I love mine, but I tell people it's not for everyone.
No, I had a Gear VR mobile VR headset for a while, but you
get
know, like
out of
the
here.
Samsung decent one.
I use that.
Go.
I had one of the Samsung good ones.
Out of there.
I like the cardboard VR.
I'm out.
Let's wrap it.
Yeah, Alessio, we've got 1.5 minutes left. Have you got anything to finish us off with?
Not particularly. I mean,
yeah, that's fair enough.
It's I think we covered basically everything that was.
We had the Dragon Age rant.
Also, I mean, spoilers for Control's a new DLC, but if you read the news on the website, you know there's a good chance they have teased. There's a good chance they have teased the new Alan Wake game, because
awesome.
it ends basically with.
I can't believe this.
A new altered world event is coming a couple of years in the future. So I mean,
yeah. I'm looking forward. I liked Alan Wake, but I do think that's everything. Are we post
spoiler?
Yeah, we've done now. That's literally it.
Okay.
Bye.
But yeah.
Organizing the streets against your landlords.